Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Tori.
Hey.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Hey, Tori.
Yeah.
It's the new year, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
2019, yo.
It feels like Christmas was a month ago.
I know. And it's going to take us like a month to finally remember to keep to write 2019. Mm-hmm. You know, not like a lot of people write checks anymore.
Right, right.
Or when we were in school and we had to write things.
Yeah.
You know, paper, pen, writing.
Yeah.
Not like, so yeah, just remember, change it to 2019.
2019.
I know. Can you believe it? Feels like just yesterday we were talking about Y2K and are the banks going to work?
Are the banks going to...
Are we going to lose all of our money?
Oh my gosh.
Remember that?
Funny. I do remember that. And I went to a Florida bowl game that year. And I remember it was like a big deal. Like, if we go to this game, is anything going to work?
I know. Are we going to be stranded at a football stadium?
Serious. It was this big, huge thing. I remember waiting, like staying up that night until... You know, 12:30 waiting for like the life to end and the internet to crash.
Yeah.
It's weird. That was 19 years ago.
That's insane. And we don't look a day over 10. Look at that. hope you guys had a great holiday with your family. And I'm sure if you're still with them, you're ready to get rid of them. So thank you for listening. A lot of people have asked us to replay our interview with Rob Kennedy, assistant equipment manager for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So we're going to do that here later in the show. So make sure you stick around for that. But let's talk about, because we haven't had a show since, let's say, the 17th. 17th was our last show, and that was when they were getting ready to go on that road trip to Canada, hitting Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, all good teams. All, you know, every night we see teams come out and they give their best effort because they want to beat the Lightning, and we beat them all. We beat all of them. Vancouver 5-2, Calgary 5-4, which they're nipping at our heels in the standings. And Edmonton.
Well, okay.
Okay. They're still behind us in the standings. Whether
yeah,
they're 10 points or 6 points or 2 points,
yeah,
they're still behind
for
us.
For sure. But the nipping at the heels I keep seeing is kind of odd to me because the Lightning are ahead of Toronto by like 8 points. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not really nipping. But I mean, I guess, you know, listen, we have to make other people
they're
feel
behind
better.
Us by, as the recording of this show, 12 points behind us in the standings, which we're just at the halfway point, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, ish.
I've just decided it's just a way to make people feel, make the other team feel better.
Like they've got a chance.
Yeah.
So you're saying
you're
they've
right,
got a
you're
chance.
Right there. No, you're not.
No. But anyway, they're behind us in the standings. They're not at the bottom of the
league. Right, right, right.
Calgary and both San Jose are playing well. So obviously it'll be an interesting road trip coming up.
I don't like these California ones.
I know. Well, it's so late. It's so late.
And they just scare me. I know the Kings are...
They're
I
tough.
Know.
They're big. They're fast. They're, you know, so...
We know Anaheim gives them fits.
Oh, yeah. Then we came home. Guys had a couple days off for the holidays. A lot of guys stayed in town with their families because if they're Canadian families, why would you want to go up there? And when you can come be in the sunshine
exactly.
at 70 degrees in palm trees. And then the guys got back on the ice against Philly, which was an interesting
weird.
Game. Was a weird game.
Yeah.
We won.
Oh, yeah.
A win is a win.
A win is a win.
It was not a pretty win. I know those guys wish they could get that third period back. Coming, losing a 3-goal lead in the third period, but winning in overtime, 18 seconds into overtime. But I know they weren't happy with it. They weren't happy with that win.
No, and that's where the Lightning are. Just, I mean, most people are just...
Happy to have a win?
Happy to get the point, even. I mean, because they would have at least gotten a point.
Yeah.
Not the Lightning. The Lightning aren't happy, even though they pulled out a win, because they let the 3-goal lead go. And this is now where this team is at. This team is... All the expectations that people are putting on them, they're putting on themselves.
Right.
So this is this is what happens when you're one of the best. I'll be nice. One of the best teams in the NHL.
Right.
Perennially.
Right.
I think that's a fair thing to say.
Absolutely. And It's something people say all the time. Good teams find a way to win. And that's kind of what we're seeing with them, because then the other night against Montreal, the same kind of thing, like they didn't play the best first two periods.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought they played the first 40-ish minutes, 40 plus minutes, they played really well. I thought they played pretty well against Philadelphia. It was the last portion of that that kind of collapsed on them. And they collapsed.
Right.
I'm not throwing shade at Philly or anything like that.
No.
I think it was the Lightning just kind of did that.
I don't know if they collapsed or were they doing, let's be more defensive, and it just doesn't work in their favor because they're such an offensive team that once you ask them to be defensive, they're like, I mean, they're defensive when they're offensive, mm-hmm. but when you say, hey guys, let's not worry about scoring.
Yeah.
I feel like something maybe doesn't click.
Yeah. And it's
weird. I have lots of bracelets on that I got for Christmas, by the way. That's the noise that you're hearing. I feel like something doesn't click where they're like, it's kind of like you cut one of their legs off. It's like,
I think we've seen games this year so far this season where they've played conservatively to protect a lead and they've been okay. They played well. And it was just weird.
Yeah.
It was just a weird kind
of. They had an off period at the end of the Philly game, and then they have two off periods at the beginning of the Montreal game. So it was like they had one full game split between two where they just weren't clicking.
Yeah.
But that third period, Adam Ernie with the game tying goal and the game winning goal with like a minute left. That kid, I'm so happy that he's doing so well.
Yeah.
You know, Eric Chernak came back up.
Mm-hmm.
And that kid has just been great. Anton Strahlman did come back. He has been back.
He had a great game.
He did have a great game against Philly. And your boy Slater Cuckoo has been sent down for conditioning, on a conditioning assignment. And he had a really great game the other night, too, in Syracuse.
I don't think, you know, I saw when the thing comes through about Slater Cuckoo, of course, I'm like, But then I think about it, it's like, you have to.
The guy's got to play.
And he's not playing. And you're going to need him?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
For the P word?
Don't say it.
In April?
I'm going to throw my drink at you. This table.
So, I mean, you know, you're going to want him then, and you're going to need him in case there's, you know, for any reason, you never know. You may need him. So you got to keep him fresh, and I get it. And Chernak has been amazing. Sergachev is still playing great. All these young guys are playing so well. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, I think it's just, it's a weird situation where you look at how many forwards this team has, but then you look at the defensive situation and it's like, wow, this is now a defensively deep team. I want to get to something in the next segment because you sent me something very interesting about that.
I actually saw it on the Sticks of Fire Facebook page. It was a link to a New York Post article. Yes, everybody, pick yourself off the floor. A New York Post article praising the Lightning for their play this year.
Yeah.
So, we're going to get to that in the next segment coming up on Game Misconduct. Don't forget, you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And coming up in our third segment today, we're going to rerun a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Everybody's asking us to replay this, so we're going to give it to you. It's our little gift to you. Our interview from earlier in the season with assistant equipment manager for the Tampa Bay Lightning, Rob Kennedy. Really interesting interview.
So many fun stories. Like, I definitely see why people loved it.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
You kind of get inside baseball, behind the curtain kind of look at what happens for him on a daily basis. So stick around for that. But let's talk about this New York Post article that I sent you yesterday or the other day. You were like, holy cow.
Yeah.
It was quite interesting.
It was.
And very complimentary for a story out of the New York Post.
Complimentary is maybe an understatement. I mean, sounded like...
It was crowning them the kings of the world.
It was very fanboyish only, almost.
We're going to tweet it out so you guys can read it.
We did wanted to bring it up because we don't see
You don't see this often. But the Lightning are on, like, knock on wood, knock on everything.
Fine wood.
They have not hit double digits mm-hmm. losses yet. Mm-hmm. They don't even mention that in this article. Mm-hmm. So the Lightning are on a historic pace, and that's not even the scariest part.
No. First of all, the historic pace is... So 124 to 124 points were racked up by Steve Yzerman's
Red Wings.
Red Wings back in the
05,
which was the season where they were just like
dominant.
Listen, nobody's
yeah,
yeah. And the Lightning are on pace for 129 points.
Yes,
and I remember that year when the Red Wings won the President's Trophy that year. It was like nobody will ever. There's no way,
right?
Because they, if you do the math. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot of losses.
No. No.
And, you know, in an 82-game season, it's remarkable to be able to pull out 124 points.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the Lightning
are on pace
to eclipse that is really scary. And
yeah.
I almost don't like that I know that now.
Yeah, I may have had a heart. I got a Fitbit for Christmas, and my heart rate went way up.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Well,
I don't need that.
And in this article, they say, and it was written by, oh gosh, Brett.
Sigalis. Yeah, I wasn't even going to try. from the New York Post.
From the New York Post. He echoes what you said earlier in this episode, is that he was talking about beating the Flyers at home mm-hmm. right after the holiday break, and Nikita Kucherov called it unacceptable. Mm-hmm. He called the game unacceptable. And he says they did blow a 5-2 period lead, but, you know, they still won. Half the teams in the league are just happy with the loser's point, which is the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, we know they weren't really happy with the Flyers win. We know mm-hmm. they weren't really happy with the Montreal win.
Mm-hmm.
But they still found a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said, good teams find a way to win. The depth, a guy goes down, next guy up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they don't even miss a beat.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very lucky in that.
Mm-hmm.
In this article, they also talk about all the ex-Rangers that are on the team
and
how well they're doing. Mm-hmm. There was an excerpt from it that you texted me, and you're like, wow.
I know. I just thought this was like my favorite part. I don't know why. I just like this. I like hearing it. If Victor Hedman will be the perennial Norris Trophy candidate for the next decade, that's how he starts the sentence. And I was like, well, hello.
Well, hello there.
Welcome to Tampa. But, yeah. You know, and this was something we had said for so long, like how come Victor Hedman's never getting any love from the NHL? And now we've seen the last few seasons he has been.
Well,
and
he's
rightfully
hard to
so.
Ignore.
And he's not even like, I mean, you watch Victor Hedman and you're like.
He's 29.
And there's been defensemen that have played into their 40s.
Chris Chelios. Sorry, he's not 29. Ryan McDonough's 29.
Yeah, Ryan McDonough. And that's what was the second part of it. If Victor Hedman is going to be the perennial Norris Trophy candidate, guess who's right on his heels? And that's Ryan McDonough. And everybody we've talked to in the last few shows has brought up, Ryan McDonough is scary. He's scary good, and we didn't get to see it last year as
sorry,
much.
I'm drinking my drink. I just
She's
realized
so
my
loud
mic was
today.
On. I'm so sorry.
But, you know,
he's going to start hitting the mic. Sorry. It's the holidays. You know, I'm not sure. I think I saw a meme that says it's the couple days, the time between Christmas and New Year are days where you're not sure, where you're just full of cheese and you're not sure what day it is.
Yeah.
Which is true.
That's true.
It is true. What day is it? I have no idea.
But every guest that we've had on in the last two months, has brought up Ryan McDonough. And as I was just going to point out that, listen, when we made the deal for him, when the Lightning made the deal for him, at the end of middle, you know, at the deadline.
Trade deadline.
Yeah, at the trade deadline, he was injured. And so we didn't really get to see...
Well, and a lot of people weren't happy that we traded away, I'm hitting the mic again, Vladislav Namestnikov for this guy, Ryan McDonough, who was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, this guy that they threw into the deal, yeah. JT Miller.
TJ. Yeah, JT Miller.
JT Miller. Yeah.
It would be kind of funny if TJ Miller was on the team, though.
Is he a football player or something?
No, he's the comedian.
Oh, I don't know him.
Yeah, he's in Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, he's funny.
He's funny. A little inappropriate, but he's funny.
Yes. But, yeah, I mean, when you think of that, there were people who were not happy with the trade. They're like, come on, why are we trading away for a guy who can't even play for us right now? And who was this other guy? And they've been standouts.
Yep.
Gosh, it's and Yzerman we trust, and Julian Breezeball we trust. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just seeing the fruits of all their labor come to fruition right now with the depth and the scoring. So this article is definitely worth a read. It's quite interesting to see the team from a perspective of a team that's given us a lot of their assets that at the time they really didn't see as huge assets.
I mean, and Ryan Callahan as well.
Ryan Callahan.
He mentions him playing
Anton
on the fourth.
Anton Strahlman was a Ranger.
Yep.
And Dan Girardi. The list keeps going.
It's crazy. It really is.
When we got Ryan Callahan, it was for Marty.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
It all ends up working out in the world of Steve Yzerman and Julian Breezeball, which is crazy.
And the other thing that he brought up, it mentions, is that, and Ryan Callahan's a fourth liner. And as he said, probably happy to be one. Because this is not a team where your fourth line is your, find the guy that's...
The third line was the best line in the Montreal game.
Yeah.
If that tells you anything.
It's not. And here's the thing. That's not the way it's supposed to work.
No, you have one or two. One
two.
And maybe a half a really good line.
I think most teams
one
have
One and a
two.
Half, two. Okay. The really good ones.
But nobody has four.
No. Any line gets on the ice, they have a chance to score.
It's just not
like there were a couple really great Ryan Callahan shots in the Philly game too, and I was like, boy, here we go. I mean, and the list keeps going. We haven't even mentioned Steven Stamkos, Eric Chernak, Slater Cuckoo.
Who, if I'm not mistaken, Steven Stamkos.
You had an interesting tweet from Matt Salmon that you wanted to hit. This would be the time to do it.
Well, I have to pull it up now.
Okay, but Brayden Point. Like, we haven't even talked about the goaltending.
Yeah, but here,
talk about depth. Talk about depth. And I didn't really know anything about Louis Domingue until he stepped in for Vasi this season.
And it's okay, because I don't think many people did, and that's okay. It's expected.
It's not that I thought he was a bad backup, or you just didn't know a lot about the guy.
Right.
And like I said, it's nice to see it from the perspective of a writer who doesn't watch the team all the time. Like, we see it all the time, so we're kind of numb to how good this team is. And when you read an article like that from the Northeast, from the New York Post, you're like, oh, it's a privilege to see these guys play every night.
Yeah. So
I feel like I should be paying the team. Well, I do. But
you do.
To watch them.
Yeah. So here's what Mr. Salmon had to say. He said, he tweeted this on December 28th. He said, one thing to consider was Stamkos' hot hand of late, the return of Andre Palat. With Palat and Gord on his wings for the most part since 11/29, so that's November 29th, Stamkos has had to have a shoot-first mentality 5-on-5. Shot percentage October 16th to November 27th, 9.4%. Wow. Shot percentage November 29th till now, 39.5%.
Jeez.
This while averaging 2.96 shots per game before and 2.92 after. So technically that went down. He had more even strength goals, 8 versus 6 in half that amount of games since Palat's return. And obviously the power play chemistry with Kucherov is unstoppable the past 13 games. So then people were tweeting about him. And he responded, one of them is, average shots per game is essentially the same, but he's getting off better quality shots. So just something kind of to think about. Also, the fact that Stamkos, I think, just set his personal best in the month of December with goals. He's played unbelievable since November 29th. The kid is a shooter. That's what he does. And he's being able to do that. And, you know, it's the team's numbers when he scores are pretty remarkable. And I think it's a lot of reasons. I think
we didn't even mention Nikita Kucherov either, but that guy.
I know. And he called him a possible heart front runner or something like that.
Okay, sorry.
But anyway, so back to...
I'm like, oh yeah, and that guy.
But... when you think about Steven Stamkos and like why the team does, yes, of course, when a leader and your captain kind of get fired up and get scoring, it's good. But also, the other team has to react because you don't want Steven Stamkos scoring on you because he's going to beat you 9 times out of 10. It's a scary shot. It's a pretty shot most of the time. And you're going to have, you have to readjust. So when you see like Stamkos, oh boy, he's got a hot hand tonight. Now we have to readjust things. And I think that also helps the team as well, because here's the thing. Teams have 4 defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
Some teams, if you're lucky, have 6. I think the Lightning have like 7 or 8. I'll be honest. I do. And it's a super homer thing to say, and I don't care. Because it's true. So, you know, when it comes to matchups, you may have an Erik Karlsson. You may have a Brent Burns. You may have these guys, and that's great. But you don't have 6 of them.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what gets lost a lot of the ways, is because we're so used to seeing the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And we know they have depth, and everybody else knows they have depth. But when you put apples to apples, mm-hmm. they're just nowhere near. It's nowhere near. It's nowhere near any other team on either side of the ice.
Yeah, it's a...
Homer alert.
Yeah.
I don't care.
You know, and, you know, sometimes we get dinged for it. But we are on Lightning power play, so guess what?
Well,
but when you have a team this good, like, what are you supposed to say? Well, you know, that 30-second shift that Alex Killorn had, you
know,
it could have been better. You know, we're at that point where we're picking apart little things.
Yeah.
They fixed their power play for the most part. They mm-hmm. fixed their penalty kill for the most part. We have a solid goaltender backup. We have 6 solid defensemen, maybe 7 or 8, considering, you know, the guys who are stepping in at, mm-hmm. you know, when we need them. We got 4 solid lines of offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adam Ernie, fantastic game against Montreal. Game tying goal, game winning goal.
Had the assist in the first period.
Had the assist in the first period. And you know, and Cooper likes to switch lines up in the middle of the game too, to kind of spark things. So you can put a guy on any line and it could spark a goal.
And cause mass confusion on the other
bench. On the other team. So, and some of the stops Vassy has been making. There was a stop in the Philly game where I was like, are you kidding me? Like,
I know.
Is that a thing? Is that, he just, homer alert, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know. And you know what? When they don't play well, we point it out. It's not like we don't point it out. We've done it before in the past.
Yeah. I mean, no, we don't want to see him give up 3 goals.
No.
And period.
Here's the good news. I don't know if you look on Instagram after games, but whenever they win a game on the road, at home, they post a video of the players coming back in the locker room mm-hmm. from the ice. And, you know, they've got music playing and they're like high-fiving and fist-bumping the trainers and everything. There is a difference in that video from the Edmonton or Calgary game
mm-hmm.
to the Philly and the Montreal game.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell in their body language they were happy they won,
mm-hmm.
but they were not happy how they won.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like we've said before numerous times in this episode, that's a characteristic of a championship team.
I was just about to say that. That's a champion mindset right there.
They win, but they're not happy how they did it.
Right.
How can we fix it? How can we get better?
Mm-hmm.
They're not just like, woo, yay, we won a game, but we let 3 goals in the third period in 20 minutes, and you kind of left our goaltender out to dry, and blah, 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 blah. You know?
And they take accountability.
Absolutely.
And one thing that I notice a lot with all of the post game is, you know, when you have a goal, any goal, doesn't matter. Let's say an Alex Killorn goal. And you say like, hey, Alex, you know, can you talk about that, you know, outstanding goal you had? And he'll be like, well,
I had a great feed from.
It's always about the pass.
Yeah.
It's always about his teammates. Who set it up?
I think that's a characteristic of hockey players in general.
Yeah, but I think it's more on this team because I've seen a lot where, listen, there have been some stars, and I'm not going to name them, not on this team, on other teams, that when you ask them about a goal, they'll tell you why that goal was so wonderful that they scored.
Right.
And it's about all about them. And nobody on this team, whether it's Steven Stamkos, Adam Ernie, Yanni Gourde,
Anthony Cirelli, Matthew Joseph, I mean,
they do not ever take credit. If you
Tyler Johnson, we haven't even mentioned his name yet today.
Yeah.
Jeez.
If you talk to Anton Strawman about how well the defense plays, he says it's Vasi.
Yeah.
If you, it's always, nobody ever hogs the spotlight here. And I think that mindset, that mm-hmm. characteristic of this team, it's mm-hmm. a team first attitude. It really is.
Yeah.
And this isn't like, well, I have to stop and think about how I'm going to answer this, because Matthew Joseph has done it and he's a kid.
First year in the Sorelli,
they young kids have immediately, first thing is this guy.
Yep.
I scored because this guy, because that guy.
That's the leadership in the room.
And yeah.
That's the Hedmans. That's the Stamkos. That's the Strawman. That's the Callahan.
And it's the caliber of people, that of men that are coming in here, that
we don't have
not
any
selfish.
We don't have any idiots.
And they're not here anymore.
We don't have anybody that's selfish. We don't have anybody Mm-mm. that is careless with their comments.
Mm-mm.
Even Vasilevsky's doing post-game interviews now, and his English is getting much better.
I have a great Vasilevsky story for you guys one day.
Why one day?
Okay.
Let's do it now.
So when he was a rookie?
Yeah.
You know, real young. Everybody remember, like, he was really super young for an NHL
He's
rookie goalie.
Still really
he
young.
Is still
He's
very
only like
young.
24 or something.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
The last exits, during the exits, he had lost his phone, or he had misplaced his phone.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to find his phone. So he went and at the time his Russian wasn't,
Yeah, he's 24 years old.
His English wasn't, he was still learning.
Yeah.
Very preliminary. This was like his first really foray into the United, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he went to one of the interns and wanted
to use his phone.
And the intern thought that Vasilevsky had like a rush. And he was like, no, my mom pays my bill. You can't call
you
Russia.
You can't call Russia to say hi to your parents.
The language barrier of Vasilevsky, like, kind of understanding, but not really. And then the intern. And so I think it was, Nemestikov, actually, that we talk about it, that went over and was like,
kind of helped
going back and forth. Like, and it was like, no, he has it's a local number.
He wants to call his phone to find his phone.
So that's kind of what happened. And, but it was like the cutest story of like, you know, of how far he's come. Cause you just listen to him now. And it's like, wow.
Yeah. It's funny when he knows you can see in his interviews, you can see in his head, he knows what he wants to say, but sometimes he can't find the word or the translation in English to say it. And so he'll just be like, and then, I stopped the puck, and you can tell he wants to say something else, but he's can't figure out how to say it. And he goes, so it was good.
I know.
But you know what? I'm proud of, I don't want to sound like, but that's confidence. A goaltender talking to the media after a game
mm-hmm.
shows a lot of confidence, especially when you know you have a language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that, because goaltenders can be a little bit weird.
They're a little weird.
A lot of them don't like to talk to the press before a game. Mm-hmm. Ben Bishop was one of those oddities that did. But
Marty Brodeur, I hear, was one of those guys that was like, whatever.
So, and he doesn't do it often,
mm-hmm.
but he's getting out there, and he's
Louis Domingue was really great about that when he was starting for the Lightning. He since day one is a chatter.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the media. So we love to see that.
Right. But it's really nice to hear from Andrei Vasilevsky. Yeah. But like I said, it just shows how much confidence he has.
Mm-hmm.
As he should. But also how much confidence the team has in him mm-hmm. to get out there and speak and be a spokesperson. Because mm-hmm. you know, when those post game press conferences, not everybody talks to the media.
Right.
Not everybody does.
Right.
So talk about the growth of this team.
Mm-hmm.
It's that. And, you know, you've been in a lot of locker rooms more than I have. The Lightning as a team as a whole
mm-hmm. are a lot more open than others.
Absolutely.
And other sports.
It shows confidence, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they lose a game here and there, they might not all want to talk to the media if they, you know, had a bad game or a particular player had a bad game, but they still do.
There's times when Stamkos was going through that whole Toronto situation.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he still talked
to the media.
But it's a lot of, I think, mutual respect, too, because a lot of the guys that, you know, the Eric Erlandsons and
Joe Smith.
Yeah. They've been in there so long.
Mm-hmm. Lots of familiar faces.
Yeah. Corey Long has talked about it, about what a tight-knit group. the Lightning media is. And so I think that has a lot to do with it, too. They feel confident. They know that it's not anybody here that's going to take what they say and make it
twist it
to a Hollywood Reporter type thing, you know. So I think that has a lot to do with it, too. But, you know, I think it starts with Cooper. I think John Cooper's one of the better coach interviews. He's always pretty honest. I mean, I know we get a little irritated with the upper body injury, but you know, and those things, but that's just coachmanship. Is that a word? Well, it is now.
You made it now. But I think the Steven Stamkos even mentioned Jeff Halpern, how much he's helped him. I think it was maybe an article in The Athletic I saw by Joe Smith, how he talked about how the addition of Jeff Halpern has helped him with his face-offs. Like, his face-off numbers are amazing. But, like, an ex-player coming who played for the Lightning for a short time, coming back to the team, helping the team as a coach, you know.
I really like this coaching staff, just going to say.
I really do, too. You know, I was a huge Rick Bowness fan. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things that maybe you hear a voice, and you start to tune it out. I think maybe that ran its course. But this coaching staff that they have right now.
I think it's a good coaching
staff. Really working.
Yeah.
It's really working.
I mean, and I don't honestly, you know, we talk about Ben. We talk about, let's go back to the Ben Bishop years. Nobody really brings up Franz Jean.
He's done wonders.
And I think he really has. I think in the beginning, there was a little rumblings, like there was a little bit of, like, you know, people weren't thrilled with it or whatever like that. And sometimes you just don't mesh and there's a learning curve involved. But nobody really talks about Franz Jean as a coach. And he's a really nice man, too, I will say.
Yeah.
But my goodness. My goodness. It's easy. You have an easy job when you have Vasilevskiy and Ben Bishop. But let's just break it down here. Ben Bishop wasn't supposed to be all that.
Right.
Right. If people remember. We had a you know, a goalie that Ben Bishop was supposed to be the, his name escapes me, you know, when we got Ben Bishop for Corey Conacher. And, you know, Vasilevskiy was, though, we will say that. He was the next Tretiak in Russia and all that. He was supposed to be the Wonder Boy, which isn't a fair thing to say. It's a lot of pressure, but he does it.
He
handles it well. And, hey, shoot. Dang.
Yeah.
Turn on any game he's playing. The dude is a human highlight reel.
I know. There's at least one highlight per game where you're like, how did he stop that?
But to be able to navigate that, you know, to make Ben Bishop, and I don't want to say make Ben Bishop play that well. I don't want it to sound like that.
To elevate his game
the way
he did while still having this guy who's supposed to be the Wonder Boy feel engaged. In the games, even when he's not playing, and then when he comes in and fills in for a Ben Bishop in the Stanley Cup Finals, and he's able to do it well.
And then we look at Louis Domingue coming in here.
But there was some history, I think, with Franz Jean and Louis Domingue
at
some point in the career.
I believe so, but
when he was juniors or the Coyotes or something, there was some kind of old
tie-in
where they've worked together in the past.
Well, it works.
It clearly.
Because, and this is absolutely nothing against Louis Domingue, but when he was in the Coyotes,
it wasn't so good.
It wasn't
but
so good.
But here's the thing. To be a goaltender in the NHL, you have to be an elite goaltender. There are only 30 teams, 31, almost 32. But, so that's 64 soon goaltenders that play in the professionals. It's not like where you have four lines of forwards and, you know, six defensemen on a team. There's one starter and one backup. So you got to be an elite goaltender to make the cut. Louis Domingue was an elite goaltender, whether he played well in Arizona or not. So you got to have something.
That makes you
special.
That's what I'm saying. And that Franz same thing
Jean
about Ben
has,
Bishop.
Right. Franz Jean has a way. I've never spoken with the man, but seeing the fruits of his labor, he has a way of pulling whatever that thing is.
That's what I was
out of the goaltenders that he's given.
ESP man,
thank you. And showing them how to use whatever that talent, skill, God given whatever is, and flourish.
Yeah,
and that comes from coaching.
That's what I think. I think good coaching. When you look at these young kids, keep saying kids. And they're young men.
These young men
that come down to Tampa from Syracuse or
wherever,
wherever they come from. And how does John Cooper get the Chernaks and the Sergachevs and Oh, you know, it's the hindsight 2020 with Sergachev, and we have seen a lot of people from Montreal say, well, we knew he was.
Dude, I'm sorry. Okay. NHL radio stop having that on guys from Montreal, and they're like, wow, what a mistake we made out in this deal.
Really? Well, because that's not what y'all said when you got Jonathan Drouin. Just going to point that out. That hindsight's 2020.
Right. It doesn't always work out.
Everybody's an expert.
Doesn't always work out, but it's sure vindicating,
listen,
man.
Listen, a 19-year-old defenseman, or an 18 at the time, mm-hmm. should not be playing as well as he was playing. Mm-hmm. Chernak should not be playing as well as he's played. Mm-hmm. Okay, we could go down the whole line of these young kids.
Danik Martel, who found out he wasn't even at the rink.
Get out of here.
And he runs. Hey, where
I know,
are
that
you?
That was a cute story.
He runs from where he's walking to get to the arena.
Yeah, that was cute. I like that story.
And suits up. No warm-up. Yeah. First NHL point. There's just story after story after story. And it's the coaching.
I believe it's John Cooper has this way with these younger players to draw, and I think years of coaching in the college level and all that.
Yep.
And it works.
It works. He's a player's coach.
I think he's a player's coach.
He has a way of talking to the players where he can get on their level.
Mm-hmm.
And the people the team has surrounded him with are only elevating that.
And the coaches he surrounds himself with and hires, I think, as well,
and
is just very smart.
The scouts. Yep. I mean, you find a guy like Yanni Gourde,
mm-hmm.
and he does this.
Mm-hmm.
You find a guy like Braden Point,
I don't know if you could say you found Braden Point.
Okay. But Tyler Johnson.
There you go.
Adam Ernie.
Yeah, yeah.
Any of these guys.
Yeah. It's just not a thing. The way that he just... Again, it's a really good coaching staff, and sometimes I don't think they get as much credit.
No.
And it's understandable because it's a star-studded team. But listen, there's a reason why these guys are stars.
Right.
Okay? Steven Stamkos was a star since he was a kid.
So that whole Steven Stamkos thing where he's with Andre Palat and Gourde, right?
Yes.
You put players in the best position to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
He finally found... the best position to succeed. Mm-hmm. He can still succeed on a line with Kucherov. He can still succeed on a line with Killorn. It doesn't matter. But where is the best position for him to succeed? Mm-hmm. And it's for him to be a scorer mm-hmm. on a line with Point and Gourde.
Yep.
So it's identifying that.
Right.
What gives us the best chance to win?
And not having people throw fits over it.
Right. You know what? If you got to move Steven to another line, guess what?
Okay.
He's going to be okay with it. Because he just wants the team to win.
And
it's not about individual stats.
And that's very...
And we hear it from the team all the time.
And that's very unheard of. Especially in a sport like hockey. When you do have megastars
mm-hmm.
that throw a fit.
Yep.
When they're
moved from a wing to a center.
I think that's a confidence thing that they're a little...
From the first line to the second line.
But I mean...
Yeah. And I mean...
It's whatever the team's going to do to...
This is a tight team. They've been close. A lot of these guys have been on a team together where they've been close.
Yep.
But not close enough. And I think they're tired of it.
I think they are too.
And so I think it lit a fire.
I thought you were going to say liquefied, and I was like...
No, they lit a fire. But, you know, I think this New York Post story...
is very telling of how the rest of the league sees them.
You know, we always say we don't get any respect. Tampa's not a traditional hockey market and blah, 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 blah. The New York Post, when they write an article like that, they're going to start paying attention.
Yeah.
Other markets.
I think they do.
But to see it in black and white in writing, praising this team
mm-hmm.
and all of the players that we got from the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to all the players that we already had.
Almost salty over it.
But they weren't. They were very complimentary.
Yeah.
And like, hey guys, these guys that we traded away are flourishing in mm-hmm. Tampa. What's going on in Tampa? What's happening? I really feel like...
This is the...
Yeah. It started with Hedman winning the Norris Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's just going to continue.
Well, and Vasilevsky was a finalist for the Vezina.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was a really tough one last year.
It was
year.
A tough
that
one.
That was one of the tougher ones.
But, I mean, was there any question on who was going to win that Norris Trophy last year?
No.
Yeah.
I said I thought they could have given it to him the year before. And
absolutely.
No disrespect to PK Subban, but I thought they could have given to him the year before as well.
It wasn't his time.
And Kucherov could have won the Hart Trophy.
Yep.
And Stamkos even could possibly be. Listen, there's a lot.
If we are on pace and we stay on pace, mm-hmm. which is very hard to do in a league in this kind of in this league, mm-hmm. if we stay on pace, I mean, it could be a clean sweep.
Ooh, listen to CT.
But it doesn't matter.
No,
it won't matter to them.
No,
if they don't bring home Lord Stanley.
Exactly.
None of it matters. You think that Norris Trophy, and even in the post winning interview that Hedman had when he won the Norris Trophy, you could tell he's like, it's a trophy, but it's not the one I want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mindset I think the whole team has.
Mm-hmm.
So they could win every game this season.
It's been a long time coming. I think we don't realize how long it's been
for
Stamkos and Hedman in particular.
I know. You look at how old they are and you're like, wow, these guys have been with the team for 10 years.
That's exactly. And you can look at Anton Stroman and some of these other guys, Brayden Coburn.
Been close,
you
not
know,
close
veterans.
Enough.
But when you think about Hedman and Stamkos, where they came from.
Yep.
Not like where they were born.
No.
But where, you know, when they were drafted.
Yep.
The nonsense that was said about
the dark
them
ages.
From the head coach. I mean, yeah. that was just nonsense. We're going
to
skip
to see
down.
Where they are now.
To see now, like, holy heck, how did you hold them together? Number
That's
one.
Another thing. How did you keep this team intact
yeah.
the way you did?
And even the triplets, which the guy in the post says, can we even still call them the triplets? Well, we will.
Yeah.
But when you look at the makeup to keep this team together, these guys want to win together. These
yeah.
guys want to win, and they know this is the best chance they have to win. Mm-hmm. And the Lightning have made some very smart business decisions, mm-hmm. and they've made some very smart accounting decisions, and they've been able to hold it together. Everybody is pulling their weight here,
mm-hmm.
from the front office to
the scouts.
The trainers, for goodness sakes.
Keeping these guys
The equipment
together.
Guys. Everybody here is pulling their weight.
Everybody's on the train going in the same direction at
and
the same speed.
There's just one stop that they got to get to, and it's the final, no more stops.
No more stops.
There's one more destination to get to, and I feel like this could be it.
All right, I think with that, that's it. We're going to go into our final segment. We're going to replay a fan favorite you've been asking, so we're going to give it to you. Our interview with assistant equipment manager Rob Kennedy coming up in the next segment on Game Misconduct.
Well, BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory. Don't forget you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. We are with our guest this week and I'm very excited. We've been trying to get him on for a little while and he's a very busy man. Mr. Rob Kennedy, the assistant equipment manager for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Rob, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I sit very close to the bench, so I kind of watch what everybody does, and we've had Mike Poirier on before and to kind of figure out what they do. And so you're the equipment guy. I mean, these guys really can't play without your support on the bench and on game days and practice days and everything. And so can you kind of give us a rundown of the day in a life of an equipment manager on game day and on travel, like road trips?
Our game days they tend to be long hours. Typical home day, I get to the rink. I'll get up in the morning around 5:30 or so. I'm at the rink by 6. The first couple hours are just kind of just dilly-dallying around trying to make sure I've got all my I's dotted, T's crossed from the day before that we're ready to go. Move on from there. For me, I have a very routine game day. My day is very structured. I go through in the morning. I work on the game jerseys, make sure there's no holes, stuff like that. Whatever the players might need, if they need something in the morning, which generally isn't too much because we get it done the day before.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we've got our morning skate. Guys come off. We check skates again to make sure that they're good to go for the game. Resharpen anybody that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Put the game jerseys out. Get the room set up. And then it's lunchtime, And generally, Mikey Poirier and I and Brandon Rogers, our strength coach, and one of our guys, Mike Peterson from Analytics, will come down. We'll play basketball there right after lunch.
I would have thought you would have had a nap, but you're going to go play basketball. Okay.
Well, we haven't had the nap yet. We're not.
Oh, okay. That's coming. Okay.
It's a little bit of basketball, a lunch, take a quick little nap, and then Mikey and I we work out together on game days, about a 30-minute workout, and then it's pretty much shower time and getting close for us for game time. We start getting the room, the heat turned off in the room, put the fans away, make sure the room is perfect. Mike will put out a bunch of his drinks and stuff like that he puts out for the players. And then it's for us, it's hurry up and wait. Just if anything goes wrong, then we're there to do whatever needs to be done. With our new practice facility in Brandon, I tend to be a little more busy on game days, where I'm using our different tools and stuff that we have here at Amley as opposed to what we don't have out in Brandon yet. So some of the little bit of project kind of work I work on while we're here on game days since we're not here as much as we used to
be. Okay. And then what's a travel road trip like for you? Because then you've got to get all the equipment to all the different cities.
Yeah, it really depends on what our plans are. In our case today, we're in here today. We packed up the truck today, loaded all the equipment on because we're practicing in Brandon tomorrow. We'll go out to Brandon. We have an extra set of gear out there. So all we have to bring to Brandon with us are skates and the goalie equipment. And we'll practice out there in the morning. Everything for the trip will be on the truck already except for those skates and goalie equipment. Once practice ends tomorrow, we'll have the four goalie bags, three bags of skates from all the guys, throw them right on the truck, go to the airport, and we're off and running.
Wow. It's just such an undertaking. I think just watching the game, you kind of don't think about all the behind-the-scenes stuff that happens to get these guys on the ice. And obviously, they can't do it without you guys. So kind of just the strangest request you've ever had from a player. You don't need to tell us
them.
Who the player is, but like the strangest request.
Actually, it's pretty easy and wasn't here. I had a player ask me for a Bible.
Bible, okay.
A Bible really, really caught me off guard. I've had guys ask for a lot of different things, but the strangest one I would say was in the middle of a game, a guy asked for a Bible.
Wow!
And obviously, we didn't have one.
Clearly, you may have been losing that game.
Yeah, I was with the Florida Panthers at the time, so there's probably a good chance we were.
Oh, okay. So a Bible, okay. He needed some, intervention.
Yeah. I don't know what he was looking for, to be honest, because he really caught me off guard. I did not see that one coming.
Did you change it, and like now you carry a Bible around just in case?
No.
Okay.
No. It was a one-time thing. We don't need to do that. We don't get too carried away with that kind of stuff.
Oh my goodness! I'm sure you could have been like, "Is there a priest in the house?" And maybe that could have worked. I don't know.
Right.
So we've noticed a lot of pucks flying into the bench this season. I just feel like it's more than normal. You unfortunately got knocked in the head with one, and you're okay. Thank goodness you had a bunch of doctors and everything around. But I'm waiting for the time where the league is like, all right, everybody that stands on the bench needs to wear a helmet.
Yeah, that was talked about. Julian Breezeball, actually, I think he was joking, but he was kind of serious at the same time when we were talking after I got hit there last week or whatever it was 2 weeks ago. And I don't see our culture isn't. I don't see pucks coming into the bench and hitting too many people on a regular enough basis to call for something like that. I don't think.
Okay. But you're okay. Everything's okay.
Oh yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I've got a rock head, so no big deal.
Well, so we talk about the pucks. So how many, just off the top of your head, how many pucks do you think the team goes through in a week?
In a week? Oh, wow.
Or if it's easier in one game day.
On a game day, we use probably two cases of pucks. We don't, we obviously don't lose all of them. But we'll use a case and a half or so in the morning, and we always have half a case of game pucks in the freezer ready to go for the game, which is a half a case is about 50 pucks.
Wow.
So I would say maybe you know, 150 to 200 pucks are used in a day.
Wow. That's a lot of pucks. Holy pucks. That's a lot. And so on the same kind of note, I live by the arena, so I go for walks to get my exercise in, and I'm always smelling the wonderful aroma of laundry detergent when I'm walking behind the arena, and I'm thinking, you know, they're doing a load of laundry. So you said that when you come in for game days, you check to make sure there are no holes in the jerseys, but that means somebody's also got to clean these jerseys, and I'm sure you have quite the extensive team of equipment, an equipment team that handles this, but like, you guys are doing laundry quite often, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much nonstop on game days, and every day for that matter. We have Jason Berger handles most of our laundry needs.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously we all know how to run the washers and dryers, but, Jason covers a lot of that. He's constantly got towels and the guys' underwear bags, the visiting team's laundry,
oh, you know, you could do the visiting team.
Take care of the visiting team's laundry and amongst other things for the visiting team when they're here. It's similar to a guest visiting your home. You look after them, you treat them well, make sure they've got everything they need. Try to make them feel as comfortable as possible, because hopefully at the end of the day they're leaving with a loss and you're going home happy.
So, and you want them to be able to help you with the laundry when you're in their town visiting too.
Well, of course. Of course. And we're behind the scenes, like all of us equipment managers around the league, we're a good friend. We all help each other out. Nobody will turn their back on somebody if they need help with something. If we forget a piece of equipment, a team will give it to us if they have it, and vice versa.
Oh, wow.
It's just, you know, we don't play the games. We're just there to make sure the players are prepared and ready to play. And, you know, sometimes you have to help the other team out.
That's amazing. And I mean, clearly it matters. Like you guys are like a well-oiled machine. I just watch you guys on the bench and you can anticipate what people need and want before they even know they need it. And so you guys just do a phenomenal job. One question that we were very curious about is, you know, when the trade deadline happens and you guys, we acquire a new player, maybe they're playing that night or even the next day. How does that work? Like, you get a jersey with their name on the back and their number, and then they've got their sticks and their shells and all of their equipment. Like, is that something they're bringing with them? Or are you supplying that? How does that whole thing happen?
A little all of the above. They're going to come with their main equipment. Their under equipment, which is stuff that the fans don't really see, their elbow pads, their shin guards, shoulder pads, that sort of stuff. They'll come with their own white helmet because every team uses a white helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as pants, gloves, and maybe a blue helmet goes, we will provide that. We'll carry, if we're on the road for the trade deadline, we'll carry a few sets of extra equipment with us just in case we make a big trade. I will usually carry some extra jerseys with numbers with no names.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can easily make a nameplate if I have to for the jersey. If not, if we have a day to get it figured out, our company that makes jerseys for us or puts the names and numbers on is on the West Coast. So it buys us some time in that regard, that if something happens at 8 o'clock at night, they can still get a jersey to us the next day.
Wow.
In most cases, it doesn't matter if it's Saturday, Sunday. They can still get it out. There's different ways we go about it, whether it's using a common courier like FedEx or we use Delta Airlines. They've got air cargo that they'll ship stuff city to city for us. So we've got some different ways of getting things, and just to make sure that we're covered. A lot of times, like I said, especially around the trade deadline, we try to carry extra with us just to cover ourselves.
Just anticipate anything could happen or anything could come up, and you guys are prepared. Well, this has been really interesting. I've always wondered, and you've done a couple of the Lightning Ladies U and Hockey in Heels, so I've kind of seen you address a few of these things before, but for our listeners, I'm sure that they are really fascinated and grateful to have you as a part of our team.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. It's been great.
So that was the fan favorite request for the end of the year. They wanted to hear the replay of Rob Kennedy, assistant equipment manager for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Game Misconduct. Don't forget, you can follow us on all social media at Game Mis with a Z Conduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.